Chapter 29. We, Papa, ... if you are so anxious, dear, we will, send. But tomorrow will do. ... and do oblige me in a little matter now, Elfride, ... said Lord Luxellian warmly, and looking as if he were sorry he had brought news that disturbed her. I am in reality sent here as a special messenger by my little Polly and Katie, to ask you to come into our carriage with them for a short time. I am just going to walk across into Piccadilly, and my wife is left alone with them. I am afraid they are rather spoiled children, but I have half promised them you shall come. ... The steps were let down, and Elfride was transferred to the intense delight of the little girls, and to the mild interest of loungers with red skins and long necks, who cursorily eyed the performance with their walking sticks to their lips, occasionally laughing from far down their throats, and with their eyes, their mouths not being concerned in the operation at all. Lord Luxellian then told the coachman to drive on, lifted his hat, smiled a smile that missed its mark and alighted on a total stranger, who bowed in bewilderment. Lord Luxellian looked long at Elfride. The look was a manly, open, and genuine look of admiration, a momentary tribute of a kind which any honest Englishman might have paid to fairness without being ashamed of the feeling, or permitting it to encroach in the slightest degree upon his emotional obligations as a husband and head of a family. Then Lord Luxellian turned away, and walked musingly to the upper end of the promenade. Mr. Swancourt alighted at the same time with Elfride, crossing over to the Row for a few minutes, to speak to a friend he recognized there, and his wife was thus left sole tenant of the carriage. Now, whilst this little act had been in course of performance, there stood among the promenading spectators a man of somewhat different description from the rest. Behind the general throng, in the rear of the chairs, and leaning against the trunk of a tree, he looked at Elfride with quiet and critical interest. 3 points about this unobtrusive person showed promptly to the exercised eye that he was not a Roman per sang. First, an irrepressible wrinkle or two in the waist of his frock coat denoting that he had not damned his tailor sufficiently to drive that tradesman up to the orthodox high pressure of cunning workmanship. Second, a slight slovenliness of umbrella, occasioned by its owner's habit of resting heavily upon it, and using it as a veritable walking stick, instead of letting its point touch the ground in the most coquettish of kisses, as is the proper Roman manner to do. Third, and chief reason, that try how you might, you could scarcely help supposing, on looking at his face, that your eyes were not far from a well-finished mind, instead of the well-finished skin a preterianeal, which is by rights the mark of the Row. The probability is that, had not Mrs. Swancourt been left alone in her carriage under the tree, this man would have remained in his unobserved seclusion. But seeing her thus, he came round to the front, stooped under the rail, and stood beside the carriage door. Mrs. Swancourt looked reflectively at him for a quarter of a minute, then held out her hand laughingly. Why, Henry Knight, of course it is. My second, third, fourth cousin, what shall I say? At any rate, my kinsman. ... one of a remnant not yet cut off. I scarcely was certain of you either, from where I was standing. ... I have not seen you since you first went to Oxford. Consider the number of years. You know, I suppose, of my marriage? ... And there sprang up a dialogue concerning family matters of birth, death, and marriage, which it is not necessary to detail. Knight presently inquired. The young lady who changed into the other carriage is, then, your stepdaughter? ... Yes, Elfride. You must know her. ... And who was the lady in the carriage Elfride entered, who had an ill-defined and watery look, as if she were only the reflection of herself in a pool? ... Lady Luxellian. Very weakly, Elfride says. My husband is remotely connected with them, but there is not much intimacy on account of. However, Henry, you'll come and see us, of course, 24 Chevron Square. Come this week. We shall only be in town a week or two longer. Apostrophe apostrophe, let me see. I've got to run up to Oxford tomorrow, where I shall be for several days, so that I must, I fear, lose the pleasure of seeing you in London this year. Apostrophe apostrophe, then come to Indelstow. Why not return with us? Apostrophe apostrophe, I am afraid, if I were to come before August I should have to leave again in a day or two. I should be delighted to be with you at the beginning of that month, and I could stay a nice long time. I have thought of going westward all the summer. Apostrophe apostrophe, very well. Now remember that's a compact. And won't you wait now, and see Mr. Swankert? He will not be away 10 minutes longer. Apostrophe apostrophe, no, I'll beg to be excused, for I must get to my chambers again this evening, before I go home. Indeed, I ought to have been there now I have such a press of matters to attend to just at present. You will explain to him, please. Goodbye. Apostrophe, and let us know the day of your appearance, as soon as you can. Apostrophe apostrophe, I will. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.